is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is the Wednesday morning edition of VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mid Gaming Hall, Franklin, Kentucky. He's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. I don't know about you guys in Cleveland. Whew, we survived last night. I mean, we had some big-time storms come in. Luckily, it didn't knock out the power, Jensen, so I could watch an all-timer again in Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals last night.
Yeah, we were fine. Just a little drizzle here this morning. We're all good. I am still I'm living vicariously through your suggestions of looking at these World Cup fans that have come over from Europe, from Amazing. South America. My favorite so far is I believe it's Freddie LA7, who you've been following.
Yes.
He got his baptism into Jordan-Hare Stadium last night in Auburn. He's like, there's an eagle flying in the stadium. The European mind cannot comprehend, Dave. This is going to be theater all week. Next week, these have been hysterical to watch our European brothers and sisters come over and see what it's like to live in the best country in the world.
Amen to that, brother. It is so cool to see them appreciating. Like, you got people at Portillo's in Chicago going, the milkshakes, they put what in the middle? There's a cake inside the milkshake. I mean, they're just freaking out at what we do over here. It has been absolutely a great ride here as we get ready for the World Cup. I'm going to talk a lot. What a lineup we have here. Jonathan Von Tobel stayed up very late last night watching baseball there in Las Vegas. Going to get up early today, talk all things with us here. Of course, the host of the Positive Futures podcast as well with Mitch Moss. We're going to have Reed Kuhn is going to join us. He's right there in D.C., and we're going to have a spectacle on Sunday night like we haven't seen before at the White House on the lawn for Freedom 250. That is going to be a show. Reed's going to give us his best bets. And the great Wes Reynolds, our Wednesdays with Wes, as the tour this week in the PGA goes north of the border to our friends at the RBC Canadian Open. A pretty good field up there this week, too. We'll give some golfers that are on our radar as well as the show goes on. But just another day in the life of the Stanley Cup playoffs, another wild one in Las Vegas. That's where we begin today's edition of our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Goalie change. You go to the bus boy. Bussy is in. Anderson out for Rob Brind'Amour. Makes that decision right before you drop the puck before game four in Las Vegas. And early on, it looked pretty good. You're up 3-1 and you get two goals early and just cruising along. And then VGK does what VGK does with two goals in the second period. You're all knotted up at 3. And Jensen, for that next 20 minutes in the third period, it felt like the Stanley Cup was swinging in the balance right there. And somehow, some way, Carolina, the old man, Jordan Staal, right in front of the net, an incredible goal to go ahead. And they get an empty netter, which was very significant to yours truly. We'll get to that and pull out a 5-3 win over VGK.
Never a doubt on the total. Told you that yesterday. So congratulations to everyone who tailed there. I actually didn't jump in, Dave, until the second intermission on the side here. Mm. And, you know, kind of for good measure, you know, looking at that first period and thought, oh, well, all right, this is the real Carolina showing up. And then we all remember what it's been like when you have John Tortorella's crew finding their way back in. Brett Howden gets his 14th goal of this postseason. Whew. And then a third period to remember, right? I mean, just remarkable to see what these Hurricanes have been able to do. That one at the end, I will give you the floor. Why the final minute became so significant to you on another big hit for your a big parlay ticket.
Don't think I've ever done this in my life, but game three in the NBA, we hit a 25-1, which is a same game parlay. And again, not advising or putting these out there. These are for fun that I put together right before game times here and got home a 22-1 ticket. So if you're watching this on FanDuel Sports Network, and it was Taylor Hall getting at least a point, Eichel with a shot on goal. We'll get to the Ehlers goal there in a second. But the over, we loved, talked about it yesterday, over 5.5, never a sweat there. Carolina became a sweat on the money line. And Brett Howden, I didn't have the guts to say, give me a goal, which he got, but I just wanted over at least 1 point, and he gets it with that incredible goal to tie up the game. I actually didn't want it. I was rooting more for Carolina on the side. And then it's the Ehlers goal. Jensen, if you haven't seen this one, America, if you're waking up today and going, just check out that empty net goal. There's no way that should have got there. He's behind the goaltender, Bussy, and he's literally just clearing the puck, and he's not clearing it towards the net at all, and takes a crazy ricochet off the boards, and somehow, some way, it's just open ice. There's no other Carolina Hurricane within distance to knock it in themselves, and Ehlers gets the goal from behind the goaltender, Jensen, and I went, oh my goodness, this 22-1 somehow, some way, just cash. So really like the other legs. You got to get some luck sometimes in these things too. And man, we're living right with a 25-1 and a 22-1 back-to-back. We'll see what we can cook up today. And I'll try to get it out there on Twitter before game time tonight. And that's where we direct our attention now. Game number four tonight, back in the world's most famous arena. And the total's already come down since what we saw yesterday, back down to about 215.5, 2.5s. On the Knicks side here that we're seeing this morning. And Jensen, if you go back to that second half, remember the Knicks scored 42 points in the second quarter. They only scored 47 total in the second half. So Mitch Johnson and company really clamping down that defense. I wonder what that portends for tonight.
Yeah, it doesn't deter me, right? I think the Knicks were a bit jittery in quarter number one. Credit where it's due. Mitch Johnson able to make some adjustments at halftime. And then, as Mike Brown told us yesterday and also in the postgame, you know, the 24 of 32 free throw attempts for the Spurs coming in the final quarter certainly felt one-sided. I do think the pendulum does swing back tonight. I know we'll break this down further. For what it's worth, waking up today, not a shock here, Dave. About two-thirds of the bets on the money line on the Knicks. About two-thirds of the money, though, on the Spurs. So wondering where we're at. Looks like the books will actually need, and it's so funny to watch, and this is why you become a VSiN Pro subscriber, Dave. The money on the Spurs, and actually the books will need the Knicks to win it tonight to be able to kind of swing back to their side of it. So a lot to break down on that front, but I think we get a much more focused and a much more buttoned up Knicks squad from quarter number one.
And as we've seen in the Stanley Cup playoffs, with Carolina equalizing that series at two games apiece, they flipped to the favorites to win the Stanley Cup. If San Antonio wins tonight, remember the Knicks were about minus $5 in the betting market before game three. They would switch back to the dog if they lose tonight at Madison Square Garden. The pendulum keeps swinging back and forth and back. How about to be a rookie again in Major League Baseball and Braden Montgomery, a walk-off in Chicago. And I know you saw it, Jensen. How about the crowd on the south side of Chicago to walk it off to beat the Braves? They go nuts. Bad news there, Ronald Acuna Jr. did leave this game with a hamstring issue. You have to keep an eye on that. But to be 23, get the call up, and get a two-run homer and a walk it off, Jensen, that's got to be a pretty darn good feeling, one he'll never forget.
One 23-year-old there to a former 23-year-old back in 2007. I know the feeling. I did not get a chance to walk it off, though, in my debut as we lost big time to those Chicago White Sox that night. But Braden Montgomery, the final piece, Dave, of the Garrett Crochet trade, all four players that were sent from Boston to Chicago in exchange for the big left-hander have all now made the big leagues. And Braden Montgomery was one of those key pieces there. So one of the cornerstones for the Southsiders for years to come. What a debut. Struck out in his first at bat, but all's well that ends well. And he joined some elite company. Carlos Perez back in 2015, Miguel Cabrera, great friend of the show in 2003, Josh Bard, former Cleveland Indian 2002, Billy Parker 1971 as the fifth player to hit a walk-off homer in their major league debut. That per our friends over at Elias. So wonderful start there. We will monitor that Acuna deal because it was running down first base, Dave. Best team with best record in Atlanta. You know, they've been able to tread a lot of water without Drake Baldwin, who's on the mend. Acuna there for a couple of weeks. So something to monitor moving forward.
Yeah, he's going to have that MRI today. And you're always hoping for good news there. You don't want to see one of the league's best players who's been injured lately stay injured. So hopefully he'll be okay. We'll find out. There are a lot of mixed reports coming out of L.A., and we've been talking about it here in the program, and I brought it up as a chaos candidate a couple weeks ago that maybe Aaron Donald, big number 99, would want to join now his new buddy Myles Garrett in there. And remember, he's been training, putting that stuff out there in social media for the world to ingest. So when you see 99 working out, you get excited. Mixed reports, shall we say. We're going to hear some of those later on in the program here. you know, if not now, it's never going to happen, obviously, for Aaron Donald to come out of retirement. Would it be that tempting, Jensen? You got to think for 99 to play alongside Myles Garrett. This is arguably two of the generational pass rushers we've ever seen and Hall of Famers to be. What do you think's going on here in L.A.?
I mean, I don't know what else besides Aaron Donald, who is just so great at keeping himself physically fit. You know, is it particulars on financials? You know, what is it feels like it's just minutia at this point. If he wants to play, Lesney doesn't feel like a guy that's like, well, you know, Aaron, we're kind of doing things a little differently here in LA. No, this feels like it's just a matter of some of the fine print. What a generational front seven that those two would be part of. Sam Darnold, good luck, buddy. Jacoby Brissett, for as long as you're there, good luck to you. I just keep thinking about whatever quarterback ends up being healthy for the 49ers, Brock Purdy or whoever is in there. Good luck in the NFC West if Aaron Donald finds his way out of retirement.
Plus 550 right now at the Rams, the short shot. I mean, short shot to win. The next one is the Bills at 10-1. There is a huge demarcation line in the betting market already. Maybe anticipating that Aaron Donald's going to come back. And the whole band's all there, right? Stafford's still the quarterback. McVay's still the head coach. And Snead's still the GM. So everything will be very familiar for Aaron Donald if he decides to come back and play alongside Myles Garrett. This is just insane. All right, when we come back, let's talk more about what we saw. Speaking of insanity, a Stanley Cup playoffs. Between the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Finals, it doesn't get a whole lot better. We'll break it down and talk about those changing odds and a big change at Netminder. That's next right here. Beeson by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Championship season is upon us. VSiN Pro can help you bet it smarter. For a limited time, lock in the early bird pricing on our football special, which is just $175. So the sooner you sign up, the more value you're going to get out of that sign up. So with full access to everything you do across every major sport throughout the Super Bowl, which of course is in next February, that means the continuing coverage of these wild NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Final, World Cup beginning tomorrow, plus Major League Baseball all summer long, and get our daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. And later on this month, June 22nd, we're going to release our NFL betting guide to attack futures, win totals, divisional races, and the full season ahead. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Going to talk much more here with Jonathan Von Tobel coming up later on this hour. Of course, Reed Kuhn's going to join the program as well to talk everything Freedom 250 in our Wednesdays with Wes, going north of the border in the PGA Tour to the RBC Canadian. So lots to get to here. But what we saw last night in the Stanley Cup Final, Carolina, it was a big decision. You didn't know you're going to go to Bussey, you're going to go back to Anderson. You know, I really got to be honest with you, Jensen. I did not have, yes, I bet Carolina, but it was the bet was made thinking that it was going to be Anderson. I was surprised that he went to Bussey. Did you have a feel? Because it felt like, man, if you're playing poker with Rob Brind'Amour, I don't know if he's got aces or twos.
Well, he had the ace that he needed. And in your first career NHL postseason start, I think Brandon Bussey acquitted himself decently well. You got to imagine the nerves had to be there. You're on enemy territory. And I believe it's the first time in multiple decades, Dave, that the first Stanley Cup final start for a goalie in that role occurred, and that was Brandon Bussey. 18 saves there, tested early, had a couple of breakaways and rebounds, but was very poised there. I think that probably reinvigorated the boys on his bench. Say, okay, he can handle it. You mentioned Jordan Staal at the top of the show. A couple of goals, a power play goal, and, of course, a game winner. Five goals in the first four games of the final. That's tied for the most, Dave, by any player in that span over the past 50 years. You're including the great one, Wayne Gretzky. Mario Lemieux is in there. He's 37 years old, playing some of the best hockey of his career, especially with all the high danger chances in front of the net. A real historic streak here. Jackson Blake was real critical, had a goal and an assist for a couple of points. Nice young player that's made a huge impact. And then the flip side, Dave, I'm still fascinated to see Brett Howden and where he is from a Conn Smythe standpoint. I mean, the playoff run has been absolutely ridiculous. It's now a franchise playoff record with the goal that he had last night. William Karlsson, a couple of points, and then Carter Hart. I told you yesterday I didn't have any evidence to be able to get to an under because it wasn't just Frederik Andersen. It was also Carter Hart. You know, you get staked to a 4-0 lead, you got to make that stand up. But I got to tell you, really impressive from Bussy last night, and what a finish, as you alluded to. That final 10 minutes, just incredible theater there in game four.
I'll show my age a little bit and you go back to the early days of watching hockey and, of course, those great Islander teams. Well, Jordan Staal has done something that hasn't been done since Mike Bossy did it back in 1982, and that is score in the first four games of a Stanley Cup. And then, as you mentioned, to add that game winner. And the way he added that game winner, you know, falling on his back on the ice and just flipping that puck over Carter Hart to go up 4-3, and you just saw the reaction of him on the ice. It's kind of like, yes, got this baby hole. We're not going to let this one slip away after that 3-1 lead. It felt like the whole series might have been riding on that third. Now, you mentioned Bussy and the change that Rob Brind'Amour. Remember, he had said, hey, don't take into account what happened in the off day. Well, I guess we could have taken into account what happened in the off day, that he was getting the kind of the first team skate, if you will. He mentioned now, what do you do? Do you go back to Andersen? Because he had mentioned that it was rest, and he felt like Freddie Andersen needed some rest, and that's why he was going to go to Bussy. Well, now he's got the rest, and now you got a win on your belt with your new starting goaltender. What went into that decision, and what might happen now when you get back to Carolina?
About a minute conversation with our goalie coach, and so Freddie needs a little break. Okay. So we went with the other guy, and if you're going to give him a break, you need to give him a break. So to me, him dressing and going through all that, and just that's not really giving him a night off. So it's just, that's it.
Rod, I know it's your favorite question, but did you think Brandon did enough tonight to get you a start in game five, or was the plan to go right back to Freddie after the rest?
We'll make that decision tomorrow at some point, more than likely, or maybe even the morning of the game. I don't know, but I'm not making any decisions yet.
And nor does he have to. Again, he kept his cards and kept them close to the vest and didn't play those cards until he absolutely had to. There's no, you know, media wants it, fans want it. We want it as betters. That's information. And it did make me a little bit nervy before that game, not knowing. And I felt like Andersen would have been the steadier hand. And you know, boy, no. Brind'Amour makes that change. And I thought that was also interesting. He was not the backup goaltender. He was the emergency goaltender last night, only coming in if there was injury. So, again, I equated it to a closer role yesterday with you in this conversation.
Yeah.
Can you go back to the closer in this situation in Andersen? Or do you think, no, now I got to ride the hot hand if that's Bussy?
So taking experience from a locker room, I would lean that it feels like Bussy. You want to respect what Freddie Andersen did. And that's where I think Rod Brind'Amour was so right to not commit immediately in the moment. You want to get with your staff. You want to talk with your veterans. And this is not an indictment on Freddie Andersen, because he's one of the big reasons why you are where you are. And so you want to respect that. At the same time, we're now in the fight, Dave. We've come level. You've regained home ice. And this is it. This is moving day on game five. For what it's worth, and it really hasn't mattered, and Carter Hart on the same on the opposite side. Dave, we got 33 goals in four games. That's the most in a Stanley Cup final since 1981. and to be fair, it has been fabulous. There's been constant swings. It's been extremely entertaining. There's been some tight hockey here at the end, and we've had some overtime thrillers. But for my money, and I'll wait to jump on a side until we know who it's going to be in net, Yeah, if I'm Rod Brind'Amour, you absolutely press the chips, man. You double down and you take the bus to drive you all the way home to a Stanley Cup win.
Well, it's so funny you bring that up, because I made the point before last night's game. You know, Carter Hart had given up the same amount of goals as Frederik Andersen, and nobody's talking about a goalie change to Aiden Hill in Vegas. And I'm not advocating for one. But as long as right now it's Carter Hart between the pipes, I think Carolina feels pretty good about where they stand. And I feel like they've got a pretty good read on that netminder, and they keep putting up 4-plus goals every night. Now, the empty netter doesn't really go against his ledger, obviously, but another game where Carter Hart's given up 4 goals and that defense has given up 4, Carolina feels pretty good. Jensen, I had Carolina in this series, and we'll find out how that plays out. I never suspected they could win a series potentially like this, 5-3, all these one-goal games. We finally get a two-goal game with the empty netter last night. But to be able to get offense like this, as you mentioned, the most goals here through 4 games in the Stanley Cup final, I don't know if this is just the way the series is going to go, but I feel like they feel pretty comfortable right now, much more comfortable than I thought they would, playing high-scoring games. I mentioned the Carolinas flip back to the favorite. They're rather sizable favorites when they get back to Carolina here, $1.55 in the marketplace in Game 5. Here's what's interesting to me. You can get Vegas right now to win the Stanley Cup at plus money. You cannot get Mitch Marner to win the Conn Smythe at plus money. And this is something I've been talking about all week. And that tells me there is the real possibility that Mitch Marner could win the Conn Smythe at minus $1.05, even if VGK doesn't win the Stanley Cup. That's what the numbers are telling me. Now, it is a double chance to get Marner to be able to do that. Obviously, you'd much rather have VGK win at plus $1.20 now, and you know you're going to cash that Marner ticket. Would you look into buying on Marner now at $1.05 to have that almost double chance, even if they don't win? But if it goes 7, he clearly has been the best player so far in the entirety of the playoffs.
Okay, yes, but I mean, this feels like it's going 7, and I would want nothing to do with anything VGK right now. Again, prisoner of the moment, I would rather err on the side of Jordan Staal feels like flavor of the moment. Now, Conn Smythe is for it's the duration of the playoffs, and that is the caveat. That's the hard part. If you're looking at Narrative Street is taking you right to Staal, because he is the big reason why you are where you are, and Bussy kind of his wingman there, a little bit low. But I think that there is going to be uniqueness here in Game 5. If you think Vegas comes back to win it, then you take Marner. If you think Carolina rides the momentum, then I think you've got to pivot and you've got to look somewhere there for the body of work of where Carolina got and now with where we've been the last couple of games.
Also fascinating. Remember, Bussy was 120-1 to win the Conn Smythe before the game last night. Even with the victory, he's drifted to 150-1.
Oh,
Frederik Andersen, who I was going to take a piece of had he played last night, he's now 200-1. Oh. It might not be back between the pipes. How about those changing numbers in the Conn Smythe? Cannot wait for Game 5 back in Raleigh. This is By the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Wednesday morning. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you. Always look forward to our conversations with JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, co-host of Money Moves. You hear him in Stormy, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern here on the network. Check out Pods to the Future with Mitch Moss and give him a follow on X at me. JVT joins us now here in the Progressive Guest Line. Jonathan, appreciate you getting up early today. I know you're going to go for your run, and it was great seeing you in Las Vegas, by the way, last week. But you went out last night and checked out a little A's baseball, a team with no name. I mean, they're called the Athletics, but we don't know what city. And they beat the Brewers last night. What was that atmosphere like? Are people starting to really start to get excited about A's baseball coming to Vegas in a couple of years?
Well, so I will admit that it was a little more muted than it was in the first game on Monday night, guys. But there's a little event in town called the Stanley Cup Final yesterday as well that I think detracted some of our citizens and caused them to maybe travel a little bit more closer to the Strip. But no, man, it was cool. Like, I've been down there by the ballpark and in the ballpark the last 2 days. It's been cool to see. You know, the A's have been really making an effort to kind of put their fingerprint out here. And you know, you guys know I like baseball. And so to have regular season baseball out here to watch Christian Yelich and guys that I recognize play baseball in that ballpark and a fun one at that. We saw Bolte hit his homer yesterday too for the first time. So it was cool, man. It was a really cool experience. I just enjoy it. And that ballpark is very, very fun for hitters, not so much pitchers, as Jensen and I were talking about. So we've had some fireworks. We've had a lot of homers. We'll see how this continues as the series continues too.
I would agree. I may have offered some meal money to my former manager in AAA to not only to only pitch maybe once when we made the visit and the trek downtown there to play the 51s way back when. Way back when we had a 2-0 series lead in the NBA Finals here at JBT. It felt like this was not a matter of if, it was a matter of when. We had the coronation for the Knicks. Hold everything, because the San Antonio Spurs have made it a series now. Expectations for you tonight, and maybe a takeaway, anything that maybe has altered your thought process and where we are? Do you think the Knicks do bounce back tonight and take a commanding 3-1 series lead?
Yeah, I lean a little bit toward that in terms of them bouncing back. But I will say, you know, it's hard to say it with utter confidence, because I think you do get a little nervous about a couple of things when it comes to New York. I think one of the things that these Spurs not discovered but had success in the last game with was the fact that they realized that, hey, Jalen Brunson's really small. Let's have really big Stephon Castle go after him when he's playing defense almost every single time down the floor. And they had a ton of success doing that. And that was a really big deal, because you guys remember, go back to the Hawks series, he had a lot of trouble against CJ McCollum, and that's why they lost those games in that series. You know, you look at the way that game was officiated, guys, and this is going to be a big deal on how this impacts this game. The Knicks have been overtly physical with Victor Wembanyama, and that's really mattered. Well, if they're going to start to get called there again, and Victor Wembanyama is going to be able to press the issue inside, which is a choice of his, he's got to be more dominant inside, then that's going to be an issue for him too. I still think that there's a strong Karl-Anthony Towns performance coming again. He was great in the first two games, and they won those. I think there's a reason why those two things correlate, and he was very passive in game three. So if you can get him to be more physical, attack some of those mismatches, and they're going to start to play off of Josh Hart, and Hart can hit some open threes, I think the Knicks are going to be in a position to potentially win this game here and take a 3-1 series lead tonight.
That was the biggest surprise to me, JVT, is that Cat was not that grown man that we saw in the first two games. It looked like old man versus young kid in 22 and taking him behind the woodshed a little bit. He's drifted back to 5-1 here in the marketplace. He was 22-1 to begin the series, 12-1 after game one, and now has bounced back to 5-1. Brunson's basically plus $1.05. Would you pivot back to Cat here? Because is it as simple as saying, if the Knicks win the series, that does mean Karl-Anthony Towns is at least giving resistance to Wembanyama down low?
I mean, he has to. I don't think there's really any question. I think there's a couple of reasons why you would make the case for Karl-Anthony Towns and not Jalen Brunson if we're talking about just these New York Knicks, because I think we all would agree. Like, at this point, it's the Venn diagram is a circle of the times that the Spurs win this series and Victor Wembanyama wins MVP. But Jalen Brunson has 82 points on 81 shot attempts so far this series, guys. He has not been efficient from a scoring standpoint. He has just as many turnovers as he does assists, and he has a plus minus of minus 13. Brunson is, in other words, the Knicks have been outscored by 13 points in this series when Brunson's been on the floor. Meanwhile, Cat has the best plus minus of any player in the series. They've outscored the Spurs by 31 points since he's been on the floor. He has been the catalyst as to, like you talked about, Dave, whooping Victor Wembanyama up and down the floor when he wants to. But I'm with you. Like, the aggressiveness has to be there. You don't know how many times I would watch and there's a possession where he's got Julian Champagne on him in the post and he's not asking for the ball. He's not forcing the issue. Like, those are the things that you have to start to work on and start to do if you're Cat, because when you are at your best as a team, it is when he has dominated the force of play. So that is going to be one of the big things. But I just don't buy the odds. Like, I get it. It's Jalen Brunson. It's the lead guard. He closed out the first two games, had the fourth quarter points in the first game, and had a big shot against Wemby in the second. But the totality of the body of work, if you're being honest in this series, it has been Karl-Anthony Towns that has been the straw that stirs the drink for the Knicks, the reason why Jalen Brunson was able to close those two games out in games one and game two.
JVT, this has been a real intriguing series as far as player props, maybe game in and game out. I know you and Zach Cohen had explored some series long props through three games. Any trend that really jumps out to you that might be actionable here tonight, or maybe even one looking at the series overall that has surfaced for you as well?
Yeah, so I think one that's really interesting, and it does tie into a series long prop that I've got that I'm in a good position on, but De'Aaron Fox, in terms of his assists, has been a really fun watch and one to track. So he is leading the series so far. He's actually got a 3-assist lead right now over the field. But it is seemingly, the Spurs have seemingly kind of realized that they can really rely on a lot of these pick and rolls from De'Aaron Fox and Victor Wembanyama. You know, you saw in this last game, those simple little pick and pops where he can just hit him in the pocket. Victor Wembanyama pulls up for an elbow jumper. But Fox has been really good in facilitating, and he has been right now, I think, with like a 5.5 assists over -135. We'll see if the pace picks up again a little bit here. These games have been floating around 97 possessions, but I think Fox has kind of proven that he should be the lead ball handler right now, especially when it comes to a facilitating standpoint. As I mentioned, Castle was really good in attacking Brunson, but in terms of running the offense, I do think De'Aaron Fox has proven right now that he is the dude that should be in charge of this whole thing, even with dealing with this injury, guys. In this last game, he had 8 assists. We've seen that assist total for him climb in each of these games. He had 5 in the first two and then 8 here last time out. I think he can go over 5.5 potentially here against New York as well. I think if New York's going to win this game like I expect, they're not going to shut them down defensively. This is going to be an up-and-down affair. We saw the last game go over, and I think you can get De'Aaron Fox over that too. But that's been one that stuck out to me, Jensen.
215.5, 216.5 out there for leaning towards the over again tonight. You mentioned Mike Brown off the top and kind of those comments that he had. And look, I know some people will get that as sour grapes. He did point out, hey, it wasn't because of this why we lost. It became more difficult the way that the game was called in the second half and at least the fourth quarter. Does that help with that over, right? If you call it tighter tonight, and theoretically that's what we would infer that Mike Brown is asking. He said, hey, we fouled, but so did they. We might get a parade to the free throw line. Is that what you might see tonight?
Yeah, I think you might. I mean, look, there's a reason why those coaches do that, right? They want to send a message to try to get some things out there. And if you're going to get the free throw line more often, then I think that's really going to help you obviously get over the total yet again, just like you did last time out. And look, the Knicks too, I mean, I don't know if you're due in this sense, because this is not like shooting, right, where regression finds itself. But you look at the last 4 games of the postseason for the Knicks, guys. We're talking about the 24th, 19th, 25th, and 40th percentile in terms of free throw rate. They have not been getting to the free throw line. They have not been getting the calls that they want. And that obviously extends out to the last game of the Cleveland series as well. And their free throw rate in this postseason has not been anywhere near what it was in the regular season or just what we know about them too. So I do think that at some point you're probably going to start to get some calls. And especially if you're starting to really harp on the fact that you have not been getting at least what the other team has, I don't think it's going to even out entirely, but Dave, there's a reason why they do that. They bring these things up in the media so that then of course it'll be front and center for these guys when they get back onto the floor. And I think that would totally help them if that's going to be the case.
JBT, it's been great to catch you and Mitch on certain weekdays here for the Red Eye here on VSiN, of course, Pod of the Future is one of our great podcasts in the suite of ones to choose from. Without giving away the store, latest episode for you and maybe some of the topics you guys covered for people that want to jump in on.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to cover the American League MVP race, Jensen, just considering how chaotic it is at this point, right? I mean, like you have Bobby Witt Jr. and Yordan Alvarez who are on losing teams but are playing relatively well. I think Alvarez of the two probably has the strongest resume at this point. I think I want to go digging for a lot of these guys. Jose Ramirez may be one of them too, so we discussed that at length, as well as some World Cup and some trends as well. And I threw in some Erling Haaland to lead the World Cup in scoring the golden boot because I want to have something to sweat throughout the World Cup when it gets started tomorrow.
JBT, it was great hanging out, and you and I got to watch bits of game 2 together, first at Circa, then we went over the D, caught up with our buddy Mike Palm, and saw that just incredible ending to that game. And you and I were talking about Brett Howden last week about Conn Smythe. He had an incredible goal again last night to tie this thing up at 3, and yet he's 100-1. He's just they're not going to give it, right? It's going to be Mitch Marner if they win. It might be Mitch Marner even if they don't win.
Oh, I think it's Marner even if they don't win. In fact, I would add on Marner and some cross-board parlays as well. We talked about that on Pod of the Futures too, to kind of amp up that pay on, see if you can add it to something else, because I don't think there's really any other candidate on the Carolina Hurricanes that's going to take it from them.
I tend to agree. I think that's a smart play at $1.05 here. That's exactly the way I was looking as we saw those numbers drop this morning. JVT, we appreciate your time as always, bro. Get some sleep before you and Stormy. Can't wait to hear those conversations today after another wild game 4 last night in the Stanley Cup Final. When we come back, we're going north of the border talking golf, RBC Canadian Open next. VSiN by the books.
VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
Circus 2026 football contests are open, and you don't have to live in Vegas in order to play. After your required in-person registration, Winner's Circle Proxy is going to handle the rest. They're going to get you your weekly submissions, as you can make your picks from anywhere in the United States. Winner's Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. One trip to Vegas, play all season long from anywhere. Schedule your appointment now at winnerscircleproxy.com. You and I have been hooked up by Tom and David, taking care of our account here this year, Jensen. And again, I know Derek and Mike, they don't really care who they give the money out to, but I think our money might be more respected this year in year number two for the contest. And I'll just put it like that. I think not that people are scared of us or anything like that, but I think they know that we are the kings of Europe right now. Whenever the NFL goes there, we got all the Europeans in the United States for the World Cup. You and I should go over there because we run things when the United States goes and plays football over on their soil.
Freddie 27, whoever this German guy is, that everyone's seen. Freddie, I'm sorry, Freddie LA at Freddie LA 7 is the guy.
Amazing.
And by the way, it just means more in the SEC, Dave, and the hospitality of seeing all these people on the planes down there in Auburn saying, we got to get guy to an SEC college football night game. If he thought it was craziness watching what they do there, imagine him entertaining the Iron Bowl in person. I don't think he would even be able to recover after that.
You know, and I think Freddie pointed out, he said, you'll never meet a happier group of Germans that are visiting in the United States, and you'll never meet more grumpy Germans back home in Germany. So look, Freddie, we're not saying you can stay, you know, obviously, but if you want to stay, you feel like you might be a new citizen of the United States somewhere down the line if you really enjoy our country. But we understand if you want to go back home, too. You can go north of the border and watch some hockey. Not just hockey, because the Stanley Cup, they don't have any teams left. But you can watch some golf north of the border right now. It might be Canada's new sport because we seem to dominate in the NHL these days. Canadian Open, it's a really good field, ironically, this week. When you look at it. Now, again, this is coming off with one more tournament, Jack's Place last week. And now we're going to get to the U.S. Open next week. So there are like some interesting names on here, like a Colin Morikawa. Now, if you remember the beginning, say, of a Colin Morikawa's year this year, he was having a great year. Like, I'm picking him. He's playing at the Players, and all of a sudden the back goes at the Players. And now we're months removed from that. And I find that interesting that a guy like Colin Morikawa is going to play this week north of the border and then go to Shinnecock outside New York City to be there for the U.S. Open. Brooks Koepka, who now is a full-time member again in the PGA Tour, but he's not eligible for the elevated events. This is the way he's getting ready for a major championship, and I think Brooks will be a story next week when you get to Shinnecock. Tommy Fleetwood, a guy I gave out last week, Jensen, right here on the show, and almost got home at Jack's Place. I mean, a U.S. Open golf course seems to fit his game perfectly, and he's the short shot to win this week. Even a guy like Matt Fitzpatrick, great start to the year, cooled off a little bit. There's some pretty big names that are going north of the border to Canada this week.
Yeah, and that kind of helped me really illuminate where I wanted to go in Bet the Build this week. Again, very much want to have a lot of top Euros in this one because it does mean a bit more to them, and knowing that it is a nice dress rehearsal for the U.S. Open. Okay, so FanDuel, Dave, we were able to go shopping very much at the top of the odds board, where the prices definitely are expensive. So no surprise, I did go with our boy Tommy Fleetwood, and your guy, Matt Fitzpatrick. So you get two real studs right off the top. Obviously, one of the more, you need people that can drive. It's a driver heavy course. You got to score on the par fives here on the North course. So no shock, we go get Tommy Fleetwood, who has been one of the most accurate drivers getting in the fairway. Matt Fitzpatrick with the elite iron play and the consistency, a pretty high floor and potentially high ceiling as well for Matty Fitz. Christopher Reaton, this is a guy too, very sharp, red hot here, has already won the Truist, tied for sixth of the Memorial, if I remember correctly from last week. You know, just a young dude that's got great ball striking. Love him this week, not only in Bet the Build, but he may find his way into some of my best bets. Andrew Putnam, we've had on Bet the Builds before, Dave. Again, reliability for the salary, absolutely a perfect spot here. He's a veteran, and I think Ricky Castillo kind of fits the same way there. Has already won this year and has had a top five, solid ball striker. He'll be great. Old friend Billy Horschel. Again, you're shopping at the bottom here once you've already spent a good amount at the top. why not go get a classic, low salary, veteran, good short game? You know, again, if he is good around the greens, he'll make the weekend, but feel that that's a great starting point. Your thoughts on the FanDuel side of Bet the Build here for the Canadian Open?
Well, I do love, obviously, when you look at Fleets and Fitz, I think those are two guys that fit this golf course. The Christopher Wrighton is a very interesting name. He seems to pop up and then he plays really well when he's up there. Castillo was a guy I had my eye on earlier in the year. He's kind of slipped off a little bit, but I like the price point there. Billy Ho, if he can get that putter going, we know how much he likes to fight on golf courses like this. So I like the top end of your Bet the Build there, certainly. And again, not to say that you want to play the chalk this week. Remember, this is going to be, I believe in Montreal is where they're playing. I got to check that. Is it Toronto or Montreal? I get confused. They've been moving this one around a little bit. And I know next year it's going to be back in Toronto. So like I look at a guy like Nick Taylor, who is the logo for this event, right? Remember when he beat, ironically, Tommy Fleetwood in the playoff and threw the putter up in the air? They used that putter toss as the logo here. So I am wondering if we should have more Canadians that we're looking at this week. I have not played any Canadians yet this week. And I notice on your board there too, you've kind of gone anti, not to say anti-Canada here in their home tournament, but sometimes there is more pressure when you're playing the Canadian Open outside of Nick Taylor. I know those Canadians want to show out for the home fan base. And Jensen, sometimes that can cause a little bit more stress.
Absolutely. All right. So my DraftKings build is going to be similar in that regard, but maybe less heavy on where the Euros are. We went right back to Matty Fitz. Again, just a solid core to start building with. Sam Burns makes the card, Dave, and he's going to be pretty prominent for me this week. The excellent course history for me was an easy add. If you remember last year, I think it was a playoff that he lost, and also just consistent around the green, pairs beautifully, I think, with Matt Fitzpatrick atop that board. We go to Eric Cole. We've had him before. Remember, 54 hole lead just a couple of weeks ago. Recent heater here. He's great on approach, which you need for this course. A lot of strong finishes. Think he's ripe there for the value at just 8,000 on DraftKings. Right back to Andrew Putnam and Ricky Castillo. Again, already talking about the value for the price point. And then our friend Tommy Hoagie. When you're looking for cheap anchors and guys that are consistent ball strikers, I didn't think we would get this kind of salary flexibility for DFS, but I got to believe, Dave, not only with that price point, people aren't going to go and try and Tommy Hoagie to put in their lineups this week, so we might get away with some low ownership for some leverage on the field. I really like this build. And again, we've got some proven salary savers there with Putnam and Castillo really helping us be able to spend at the top with Fitzpatrick and Burns. I tell you, Sam Burns was right there before the weather came in, and then it kind of evaporated a little bit, but I think he gets right back on the horse. I think he's in contention very much into Sunday afternoon.
Just like the court records to show, no Canadians made Jensen Lewis's list here, and in two Bet the Builds. So we're going anti-Canada. And my two to watch this, and it is in Toronto again this year. It'll be in Toronto again next year. They do move this around. It's been played over there in British Columbia in years past as well. I do not have a Canadian either on my two to watch this week. And I've got a couple of Americans for you. One of those is on your Bet the Build. It is Sam Burns. Guys have great course history and certainly tournament history here at the RBC Heritage. And he's playing really well right now. Played really well last week at the Memorial. And the other guy is not a popular guy, right? We have been critical of Wyndham Clark. You don't go to a U.S. Open and, trash a place there and then you get banned from going back to the site and, this overcoming adversity. It's all adversity that Wyndham Clark created. So I don't like to do those type of things and give people passes for coming back. But I also can't ignore how well he's playing. To win the CJ Cup a couple weeks ago down there deep in the heart of Texas, which was, Jensen, quote unquote, an easy golf course. And then you go to a really tough golf course at Jack's Place at the Memorial and you finish one off the lead and you finish in third. Wyndham Clark is playing a really good pocket of golf right now. One thing I've learned in golf betting through the years is golfers, they have windows. And when they're in those windows, they normally stay hot in those windows. And I'd be really surprised if Wyndham Clark and Sam Burns, for that matter, they're going to be fixtures in my top 20, my placement markets. I'll be looking for the best. But I think 20 to 1 out there in the marketplace at Wyndham Clark, I think it's a good number for a guy like that this week, that once he gets that taste of winning again, remember, this is a U.S. Open champion. I know it was in L.A. I know it was one of the easiest U.S. Opens we've ever seen. But Wyndham Clark has won on easy golf courses and hard golf courses. And this one's kind of right there in the middle. I think Wyndham Clark, Sam Burns, two guys, two Americans north of the border that we're keeping our eye on. I still don't know the exchange rate. When you go north of the border, I've been there in Toronto, still confused about how the whole that whole system works. You are watching By the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.